Well, last week we spent some time talking about living life on purpose. We're going to go a little bit further in that today. If you want to look at Colossians 3, verse 17, I'm going to go there. Look at that again, Colossians 3, verse 17. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In just a few verses down in verse 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. And then 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means as His representative. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So we talked about this, so we're just going to review a little bit. And we call this living life on purpose. So what you're doing, if you're doing it all to the glory of God, if you're doing it all heartily, if you're doing it all in His name, you're doing it intentionally. You're doing it with purpose. You're not just living haphazardly. I mean, that should go without saying, but it doesn't, because this world pulls you in its direction. And so you got to be intentional about it. You got to do it on purpose. You got to do it wholeheartedly. The heartily means in all sincerity, with zeal, with gusto, wholly, thoroughly. Wholeheartedly is completely and sincerely devoted, determined, enthusiastic, marked by complete earnest commitment, free from all reserve or hesitation. That means you're all in. That means you're not going to be able to do this, live, do everything, all things. That means everything. All to the glory of God, all in His name, all heartily. You're living for God, not to people. You're not living for people. I mean, we serve people, but that's not the reason you're doing what you do. In other words, you're not doing things differently because somebody specific's in the room. You're not doing something differently because the boss is watching. You're not doing something differently because you're in a certain crowd, but then, you know, outside of that, well, you just do whatever. No, that's not intentional. That's not living according to the way God would have us live. We're going to get into this. We're only here for a short time. I don't care if it's 120 years. It's short. Yep. How many of y'all found that out? Time goes pretty quick. Yeah. And so as we're passing that time, we want to do it on purpose. We want to do it intentionally. We want to do it deliberately. You know, intentionally, on purpose is intentionally, which, you know, deliberately. Some synonyms with intentionally or on purpose is deliberately, conscious, voluntary, intended, willed, purposeful, knowing. So if we can do certain aspects of our life on purpose, you know, you're very intentional about a certain diet, very intentional about, you know, learning something. You know, you can have certain apps that you're going to intentionally learn something 10 minutes a day. I'm going to do this. You know, like 10 minutes is 10 minutes. That's nothing. Well, in a year, if you put that 10 minutes to something, be intentional about it, you can have a new skill. You can learn something different. You know, we talk about being intentional or doing something on purpose, exercise. Why? Well, our spiritual aspects of our life ought to be at least as intentional as all those other areas. It's not just that we do parts of life intentionally. Holistically, our life ought to be living for God. Amen. In all areas, that you're doing it on purpose. Whatever we do, now we know we're not perfect in it. Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we ought to be doing it on purpose. In other words, we ought not to be doing things just to do it, just because somebody else did it. But because the Lord told us in His Word, it lines up with the Word of God. It's not because I said it. It's not because you heard it, somebody on YouTube say it. It's because you know from the Bible, from the Word of God, that that's the truth and that's what you're going to do, that you do it on purpose. And then you set your life. We ought to ask ourselves the question in different areas, why am I doing this? If I can't trace it back to something in the Bible, maybe it's something I shouldn't do. Maybe it's something that's just, I'm doing it religiously. In other words, I'm doing it man-made religiously. I'm doing it because I got the idea that's what I should do, but it's not really necessarily what the Bible says. Or it might be something that is good and right, but it's not God's will for me. It can be somebody else's path. You know, you can see somebody else do something and say, well, I should do that too. Well, even if it's good, if it's not for you, then we ought not to do it. You know, you could spend a whole lot of time learning something, a skill, go to school. Nothing wrong with education, right? But if you're learning something that has no bearing on what you're supposed to do, that's actually maybe not a complete waste of time, but it's best, definitely not the best use of time. You know, if you're learning something and spend years and years in an area that really, if your ultimate call and what God wants you to do is in this other direction, you could have used that time much better. Even if you come out like, I know how to do this, but I'm not actually going to use it. I spent all this time, all this effort, was very diligent. So we don't want to do that either. We want to know, number one, from the Word of God, but then number two, from God Himself, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? And then be intentional about that on purpose. And intentionally, that means you're saying no to some things. Because if I don't, I mean, it's easy. And I'm not talking about just sin either. I mean, of course, that applies. But things that are good and right, but I'm spending time on things that aren't good for me because they're not actually going toward the right purpose. If I don't say no to things that aren't that, I'm going to waste time. I'm going to get down the road and realize I could have been doing other things that help me more. Well, if I'm going to have to be intentional about that. I'm going to have to do that on purpose, or otherwise, I'm just going to find myself going with the flow. And you can go with the flow you could push against and be very diligent in a certain area, but actually be going with the flow in general living. Like very diligent about an exercise program, but actually the core of how we're behaving, it looks just like people that aren't serving God. Let's just look at a couple verses we looked at last week, and we'll go forward. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Young man, young woman, person of any age. It applies the same way. By taking heed according to your word. By taking heed according to God's word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I'm going to find out from the word of God what I should do. It's going to help me to keep from going in the wrong direction. Psalm 119, 33 and 37 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. We would say your word. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. If I'm observing it with my whole heart, then I'm doing it on purpose. I'm doing it intentionally. I'm doing it sincerely, not just doing it just to do it. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. That could apply in so many areas, but looking at anything that's worthless, yeah, generally speaking, but worthless according to what you have for me. And anyway, anything that's going to waste my time, that's not what would glorify you, not what you would have me to do, it's worthless. To a greater or lesser degree, It doesn't apply. So how am I going to do it? I'm going to put God's word in my heart. If I'm putting his word in my heart, I'm going to be close to him. I'm going to be tuned to him, and I'm going to know what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and what to stay away from, what to lean into. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So wholeheartedly, sincerely, on purpose, intentionally, lean not on your own understanding. So get away from just what you can see. Don't lean on other people's understanding. Just because somebody told you something, that's not enough. Even if they love you, even if they're sincere, I need to know from God what I should do. And so if somebody else is telling me, well, that's not possible, I don't know if I would do that. We're not leaning on that understanding. We're not leaning on our, if we're saying, I'm not sure, how my mind has trouble with something, that's not what we lean on to. We lean into God, trust him with our whole heart. Lean not on our own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So in everything you do, you're acknowledging him. That means in every step you take, Lord, is this what you would have me to do? In everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything you do, do it to glorify God. Well, you're acknowledging him, and the Lord says he will direct your path. If you press into him, if you do it because his word says it and because that's what he's telling you to do, the Bible says he'll direct you. And if God's directing you, which is hard to do, he said he would do it. If you're doing what the Lord would have you to do every day, overall, and then day to day, week to week, knowing what the will of God is in any circumstance, there is nothing higher than that. If you have God's heart and his will in any circumstance, then you've got it made. Because he knows everything. Amen. There is nothing higher than that. In any situation, say, what are we going to do? And you go by his word and what he's leads us by his spirit. If you know the heart of God, you have the answer that will bring you out. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Doesn't matter how bad it looks, how hard it looks. If you have his heart on the matter, then you've got it made. You know that it supersedes any person's understanding. It supersedes any challenge, because you know God told you to do this. God said this way. It's the heart and the mind and the wisdom of the Almighty. It bypasses everything. You know the sky will split. The problem will dissipate, because you will get to the other side if you're following him. How do you get that way? You trust in him with all your heart. You make up your mind that I'm going to live. Everything I do to the best of my ability is going to be to glorify him and to do what he said and to seek him in everything I do. Not just start assuming. Not just say, I got this. I know what to do here. No, check in with him. Acknowledge him in everything you're doing. Even if you've done it 49 times, the 50th time you say, Lord, how about this? We've done it this way. Is this the way you wanted me to do it? Is this the way you want me to go? And he'll direct you and he'll guide you. See, that's not trusting in my own understanding. If I go into autopilot and say, well, I know, well, now I've kicked in from trusting him to just doing it on autopilot. How do you mean? That's not good. Because I've stopped checking. I've started assuming. If I start assuming, I can get in a bad place. And it's not because the Lord wasn't trying to lead me. It's because I checked out. And I could do both in my life. I could have some areas where I'm very attuned, but other areas where I just say, I got this, and I'm not really checking. Now, I'm not saying we don't get legalistic, we don't get anxious about things, but we ought to just be open and just checking in with the Lord constantly, so that should I be going this way? If there's something that's coming up, don't do it this way. This time we ought to listen. He can help us. Amen. He can help us get away. around something that maybe was a challenge. We ought not to just go into autopilot and say, well, whatever, I know, I'm just going to do this. Because at that time, in that area, then we have gone in a direction that's not fully engaged with Him. At that point, we've taken, even though our heart may be, I am serving you and everything, the moment we say, yeah, but this, we already know what this is, and then we can go back another. For that period of time, I've checked out, even if it's unintentional. You know, we can do that in certain areas where we've grown to where I very much trust God. And these, I trust God. When it comes to this, I trust God. And I built that. When I come to this, I trust God. This thing, I do it the way we've done it. I do the way with somebody else said. I do the way we understand it. And I don't even question why I'm doing it, how I got to be doing it that way. I just am kind of like, yep. And sometimes when we'll look at that and say, Lord, is this what you would have me to do? He can guide us and lead us that way if we'll give Him the place. See, the important thing is giving Him the place. You know, have you ever, you somebody that you knew something that could help them, but they didn't ask you? You knew they were about to do something, but they're not asking you about something. And there was no really place for, and you could have helped them, but they're not asking you. Well, God's a gentleman. He's gonna help us, but if we're like, well, I'm just gonna press on, we're not giving Him the way. We ought to know that He knows more than we do. Are we all clear on that point? Everybody acknowledge that God knows more than us than we do? Well, then, if He knows everything, again, if you go back to the wisdom of God, if you know what God's will is in anything, you got it made. So if we kick into the place that I know one thing, I just need to know what you know on this. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I'm thinking that's 180 degrees from what I'm thinking. If I hear from you, I will do that because you know more than me. And sometimes you may look and go, I don't see how. All you need to know is that what God, that's what God told you to do.
Amen.
That's it. The rest of it will become clear. Mm-hmm. Right? All you got to know is you heard from Him. That's it. If you know you heard from Him, then He knows how to get us to where we need to be. He knows what's coming. He knows the beginning or the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so He'll help us. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, verse 13. At this specifically, this area. Some things here and related verses I really want to focus on related to this. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's go back to verse 13. There's a number of things here, and we'll bring some things out. But verse 13 says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. It means be serious. Be in your right mind. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. So not doing what you used to do. And we're going to see what's in the world, as in your ignorance when you didn't know. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now, part of what holy means is to set apart. So when you see holy, a lot of times you can put set apart. So to be set apart in your conduct, that means you're not doing what everybody else is doing. Now, talking about living on purpose, to do this, you got to do it on purpose intentionally, because the world's just going to go where it's going to go. So if we're going to be set apart, if we're going to be like this, then it's going to, we're going to have to do it on purpose. It says, you also be holy in all your conduct. And you can look at it like this. It says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. You're holy in all your conduct. We read that you're to, in everything you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it to glorify him. So to be set apart, it says to be holy in all your conduct. What does that mean? You're setting yourself apart in your conduct. What does that mean? You're on purpose doing what God would have you to do. But it's not just a religious checklist. When people say holy, I think they get religious. Go, oh, holy. I'm holy. No, holy is you're righteous. That means you're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. But also it's behavior. It's we're setting our lives apart to serve him. Verse 17 says, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear. That means reverence. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct. Notice that. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So you were redeemed not just by silver or gold, but by what Jesus did. But let's go back to verse 17. If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. In fear. Look at the amplified of that verse, verse 17. It says, if you address the Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in reverent fear. So it's not talking about being scared fear. It's in reverence, that's honor, revering God. Conduct yourselves in reverent fear of him with profound respect for him, throughout the time of your stay on earth. I like the way it says it. It says throughout the time of your stay. Mm-hmm. The time that we're here. Let's look at it in the Amplified Classic. It says, if you call on him as your father who judges each one impartially according to what he does, then you should conduct yourselves with true reverence throughout the time of your temporary residence on the earth, whether long or short. You know, whether you're here, whether Jesus is going to come back very soon, you know, you go, you think it's got to be soon with all the junk that's going on in the world. But you know what? People have thought that before. We could be here another 50 years. Or Jesus comes back. Or we go on, you know, we live our life out and go to be, you know, people think, well, that's just, there's no way. People have thought that before. And here we are, 2026. So whatever the time that we're here on earth, wherever station of life we're in, whether we're young, whether, you know, we've lived out some of our years, whether we've been around on the earth for a long time, this applies throughout the time of our stay here. We are temporary residents here. This is not forever. We're not going to get up and do what we're doing forever here. Things change. You know, we have young people that are graduating from high school. That season of their life is, you're going to graduate next week. But as far as going to that high school every week, that's over. They'll never be in that season of life again. And that happens, you work at certain places of employment or be in, you know, certain education or phase of your life where that's just what you do, what you do, what you do, what you do. And then all of a sudden, last day, you transition. You know that feeling of something feels, it just feels regular. And then you're in that twilight where something changes and that feels all completely new. When you start a job, same thing. I remember when I started working at a certain job, talking to the HR lady, she was like, right now, it's like you're drinking from a fire hose. Your mind is completely alert, attentive. Everything is new. So you're absorbing. Everything you bump up against is new. It's like it's just constantly firing your senses. But you know what? Pretty soon that becomes old. It becomes where this is what I, you know, you come up and I don't know that person. I don't know that person. I'm learning this process. It can feel overwhelming. But after a little bit, it's normal. You've settled into a new normal, new regular. And then you can think, well, I'm just going to do this. It's never like that. You know, our whole stay on earth, it's like, well, this is what we do. It can just be settled in. This is what we do on earth. This is what everybody does. That changes. And you know, ultimately for each one of us, it's going to change permanently where we don't walk in this body, in this way, in this dispensation, I mean, this time period, you know, anymore. We translate it. We're done. Now, this does not mean we're done with life. There's a lot past this life. The Bible talks about things. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth. It's not over. But the time of in this earth, it's only a short period of time. We are temporary residents. That'll help us adjust. We're talking about doing things on purpose. If we understand the whole of our life is temporary, it's temporary. The longer you live, you know the time is short. It goes quick. Things that you think, oh, it's taking so long, you look back, well, that was 10 years ago. That's 20 years ago. It's all temporary. So while it's going by, you know what? It's really easy to get to the place where it just becomes normal and you shift into autopilot. That's not bad to have routines. That helps us. That helps us to relegate things that we just do. The routines, though, should be informed by our purpose, what we are getting from God, where we're supposed to be. Then we put in routines so that they will facilitate us going in the right direction. You know what I'm talking about? If your routines determine where we're going, what we're doing in a daily basis determine where we're going to end up as time passes. And so those should be informed by what we believe we're supposed to do. But that doesn't mean you check out in those things even. Even if you believe this is the right way, I'm doing this for the glory of God, we ought not to get rigid about it and be like, this is what I do every day. I've already sought God and this is what I do. We ought to be flexible. But flexible does not mean, you know, like floppy. Flexible means it can move, but it'll come back. You know, if something's just like yarn on the floor, that's not flexible. That is just a heap. But if you got something that's stiff, rubber, something, and it moves like this, it'll snap back. That means it can move. It's not iron. You know, you're going to have to do something else, heat the thing up or whatever. But, you know, if it's iron, that's not flexible. It's not moving. Our life is not supposed to be rigid. Our routines, what we do is not supposed to be rigid. They should be flexible, but they also shouldn't be just a pile of yarn either. What are you doing today? I don't know. I don't know. We'll just do whatever. See, I'm so go with the flow. No, that means you're not going anywhere. It ought to be flexible. Look at, go back to the New King James Version. Let's read 17 and then we'll go to 18. It says, if you call on the Father, you without partiality judges according, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear, in reverence, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Notice what it says there. You were redeemed. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things, that things that perish, with silver and gold. Let's go ahead and read the whole verse. From your aimless conduct received from tradition by your fathers. We'll come back to that. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and spot. So in other words, we were redeemed as we believe on Jesus, not with something that perishes, but by the blood of Jesus. So he bought and paid for us to something. So while we're here on earth, we've been redeemed to something, not somebody paid for us with gold, but with the blood of Jesus to be something and to go somewhere for him. But go back to the verse 18. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed from corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You know, that doesn't just apply here. That implies generally. You know, we can know stuff. Stuff can come down. Notice it says, you weren't redeemed from your aimless conduct. What does aimless mean? It's just all over the place. In other words, it wasn't going anywhere. And notice it came down. Somebody passed that down to us. You know, for each of us, what we have to do is determine, because we're all raised by humans. Humans are not perfect. You know, most parents, they do the best they can. They have good intentions. But regardless, anything that's not squarely based on the Word of God that we received growing up, we ought to throw out. Doesn't matter what intentions were. And as we grow, we need to say, why am I doing this? Where did this come from? Is this based on the Word of God? Can I find it here? Maybe some people have expectations of what we should do. Well, we just do this in our family. We do this. We do this. Fine. Is that what God wants me to do? See, I might have had something in my past or somebody, you know, that I passed down. It might have been aimless. It might have been something that they were doing. It might have looked good on the earth, but if you talk about in the scheme of God's kingdom, it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't doing anything eternal. And so when we are, we need to determine what is that? What, I don't want to do anything that's aimless. I don't want to have just something that from God's perspective, it's like a ball of yarn. I'm not talking about that people won't say, wow, you're really doing something. If it's not actually in the scheme of God's kingdom and eternally, because we're here temporarily. If it's not going toward what we should do eternally, then it's not really affecting anything because we're here as temporary residents. It's like if you went on a trip somewhere and you were there temporarily, you're there for a purpose, like a business trip. You don't start, you know, you're there for, even if you were there for a month, you're there for a purpose, to get something specifically done. If you start taking up residence and start acting like, well, I need to be here, I'm not going to do something different. I'm going to act like I am moving in here. I'm going to do something that I'm just going to integrate into the community. I'm going to integrate into society. And it takes me away from my actual purpose of why I'm in that area. What have I done? I'm actually taking away from what I'm supposed to be focused on, and I'm doing stuff that is, in the big scheme of things, irrelevant. And so, if I start out, I'm doing this thing and I'm doing it on purpose. If I'm not diligent, just even in that short period of time, things can pull me away. That I can get to where, Yeah, I'm just doing whatever. Now, I, you know, the culture may be really laid back where I am, but I'm there for a reason. And I start going, it doesn't matter. I mean, look at everybody else. Everybody else is hanging out. Why don't I hang out? Because I'm not there for that. I'm there. I'm not there on vacation. I'm there to get some business done. I could be in a place where there's a bunch of people that are on vacation, but I'm there for a different reason. And if I don't understand that, then I could start setting up camp, and in the time passes, my boss goes, what did you do? Well, I started hanging out like everybody else. It looked fun. No, but you didn't get your job done. So I have to, on purpose then, I have to do what I believe I should do, not aimless, not rigid, but flexible according to the kingdom of God. That means I'm doing what I believe I should do. I'm putting that in on purpose, but it can flex. If I need to do something else, I'm open to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But generally, I'm checking in with him. I'm checking in to see, am I going the right way? But as he leads me and guides me, I can make changes. I can change things. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Notice here it says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. In the NLT it says, Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. He said, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage against your very souls. Well, worldly desires, they can be things that are totally negative, totally going to take us in the wrong direction, but they could be just things that the world is doing that's not taking me where I need to go. In other words, you get caught up in what everybody else is doing. They're worldly desires, things that are worldly means you're centering on what is here and now versus eternity and losing the sight of the fact that we're just here for a short period of time. And so we start going to the place where I'm not doing it on purpose. I start to drift. And it's so easy to do because this world will pull you. Oh, it's so easy. If you've ever been like on social media, you know, you start looking and you're just going to look at something somebody sent you, some post or some reel or some news article somebody sent you. And if you're not careful, you look up 30 minutes later and you're like, what have I been doing? Because what? You're just going through the next thing because what? There's a lot of interesting stuff. It's not necessarily even bad. It's just like, wait, this is not how I wanted to spend my time. So what is that? That's like, I had this idea that I'm going to do these other things, but I get pulled to where, well, everybody else is doing this. So now I look up and wait, that time, I've missed it. It's gone. And I didn't really do what I wanted to do. I wasn't actually doing it intentionally or on purpose. I actually got caught up in something else. And I looked up and go, why did I do that? I think we've all done that, even if it's not social media. It's something where I got looking or doing something or I got sidetracked with something. And it, again, it's not to be legalistic or to beat us up about stuff, but it is to be like, I ought to catch myself going, those moments are, they're limited. Again, not to be legalistic, not to be rigid, but they are limited. It's not forever. But things do pull on us. Look at 1 John 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we're in the world. It's not saying, you know, you hate everything that's in the world. No, we live here. But it's not loving it more than to get me off course, to get me distracted. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, what do we want? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. In other words, all those things that draw us here in this realm that is temporary, they're not of the Father, they're of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of the Father, of the will of God, abides forever. So the world's passing away. We understand this stuff is changing. It's passing away. It's not to get caught up here, because like seasons change, the whole world, this way of doing stuff is passing away. We don't want to be then centering up on it. We want to be doing things that are going to last eternally. Amen. Look at it in the NLT, 1 John 2, verse 16. It says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Now, it does not say that we shouldn't have physical pleasure. It does not say that we shouldn't enjoy the things we see. It doesn't say that we shouldn't achieve and have things, but it's a warping. We shouldn't crave just having things that we enjoy. That's just all physical pleasure, because that'll lead to us being derailed. We shouldn't just be led by everything we see and go, well, I want that. That's going to get us off course. And we shouldn't take pride in what I've done. It should be all to the glory of God. So we have to keep these things in check. The Bible doesn't teach us that we should just live as hermits and just completely destitute without anything just before God. No, we're not going to affect the world that way. But it's just keeping things in check so where it does, things don't pull us off to where I'm not doing things on purpose. I'm not doing with my limited time here what I ought to be doing for me, ultimately to God's glory, what he would have me to live day by day. In the Amplified, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust and sensual craving of the flesh, and the lust and longing of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, pretentious confidence in one's resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. So you don't get proud in what I have and the security in that. No, I'm supposed to be looking to God no matter what's going on. I'm supposed to be trusting in him. I don't get to the point where I got enough, I'm good, I've done all this. No, that's the problem. It should be beneath the Lord, because that'll pull us off. And if we're looking to these things will pull us off into a place where we're not living for God. We're not doing, in other words, if we say, this area, this is the direction that God would have me to go, but look, I need all this thing, and this is what I really want and need, and oh, I want this, and this is really fun, and ooh, that person's doing this, and I won't have this. Now, that will be out of order to where it pulls us in the wrong direction from what God would have us do. See, that's the problem. But in the path of God, it's not that he wouldn't have us have everything we need. It's just we can't let these other things dictate. That's when it becomes wrong. In other words, we're not putting God on the throne. We're putting these other things and other desires on the throne. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 2. If we'll serve God, serve him in everything we do, his way is right. Ultimately, that is going to, on that path is everything we need. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, everything we need. through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it says, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness we have by knowledge of him. Verse 4, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has given us everything we need, provided it for us, everything that we actually need for life has been provided for us, and that way is to escape everything that would take us in the wrong direction. So God knows his way will get us everything we need and escape the wrong way that would take us in the wrong direction, all those things we just talked about. Then the next verse, though, it says, but also for this very reason. So because of that, giving all diligence, so on purpose, consistently, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. He's saying, do these things, lean into these things, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, so if you don't push into this but go in the other way, these things, he's short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So in other words, there's pressing into these things on purpose, doing what God would have us to do, and if we don't have those things, and we don't press in, it's because we're short-sighted. What does that mean? We're looking at now. Other things, in other words, I want this, so I'm short-sighted instead of the long haul, and that this is only really a short time, and I'm only here for a period of time. I can get distracted and be short-sighted and start moving after things that aren't going to help me in the long haul. They're not actually the purpose. They're not actually what I want to intentionally do, but I can get sidetracked. I can get distracted. And I've lost sight of the fact that God has redeemed me through Jesus, and that he's redeemed me for a purpose, and that in going where he would want me to go, I'll have everything I need. And ultimately, that will bear fruit. So let's close with this. Psalm 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So delight, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. Go do what he would have you to do. Press into him. And it says, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? His will. He'll bring what he's telling you to pass. Commit it to him. Roll it over onto him. Decide in doing all this stuff that, Lord, I want to live according to your word. I want to live. I want to do all in the name of Jesus. I want to live according to your purpose. I want to do it intentionally. I want to put things in place. Lord, I'm not sure how to do all that, but I commit it to you. And it says he will bring it to pass. He'll help me. He'll show me what direction to go. He'll help me to stay off that other path. He'll show me what I need to do, not do for me. He'll help me to see things that look good but aren't exactly for me. He'll bring it to pass as I trust him and acknowledge him. And then I won't have anything to regret. I'll say, yeah, the other stuff, it tried to distract me, tried to derail me. But through God's faithfulness, he helped me. Amen. In my short time here. Amen.